Amen. Thank you, Aaron. It's good to be here. We took a little journey. We were gone for a couple weeks. We were on vacation, if you want to call it that, a 16-hour road trip with a car full of kids. But I'm kidding. It was vacation. It was wonderful. It was refreshing. But well, now we're back, and I'm very happy to be back, but of course, I had to go through the transition that we all go through when you're on vacation, and then you return. Actually, I knew it was going to be an especially hard wake-up, because coming back from vacation, and then as time would have it, my brother who lives in New Hampshire just retired, and he got a boat, and he sailed his boat all the way through the channels, and the couple days after we got back from vacation, on that Monday, he was coming in to Montreal, and my mom was flying in that same day. So, you know, Sunday night, it's like, okay, been off of work for a couple weeks, and now my mom's coming in. We got to get her from the airport, and my brother's coming in, and I got to go back to work, and it was like, all good stuff, right? All good stuff. But still, you know, it was feeling like this is going to be a Monday that's a real shock to the system. You know what I mean? Like you're relaxing and then boom, lots of stuff going on. Good stuff, but stuff. Busy. I knew that Monday morning, the busyness was going to begin. That's what I felt. But never fear. Because there's a psalm for that, okay? If you're new here, that's kind of like the series we've been on. It comes from an old commercial. We're trying to be funny. But anyways, the idea, there's a psalm for that. Psalms, if you don't know, if you're new here, if you're new to this church thing, to Christianity, to the Bible, psalms are a part of the Bible that are songs. They are. Many of them are prayers, they're scripture, they're God-breathed, they're God's words given to us, but they are songs. They're old songs. And so when we say there's a psalm for that, what we mean is there's a psalm that is fitting for the whole myriad of human experience and the feeling of busyness or the looming weight of busyness and work on the horizon. There's a psalm for that. And it's a short one. Let me go ahead and read it, and then we'll talk some more. It goes like this. It's Psalm 127. Goes like this. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Okay, so this is Psalm 127. And before we get into it, you know something? I actually looked back on my records, on notes, and I found out that I actually had this on the screen pretty much a year ago, right around this time last year. And I thought to myself, well, of course I did, because this is the time of year where summer is starting to wrap up and the looming feeling of busyness and heaviness is starting to fall. My wife said to me last week, she heard it somewhere, that August is kind of the Sunday of summer. You know what I mean? Where it's like, it's still summer, but you can't help but realize September's coming, you know? And for many people, September is when the real busy season starts. We kind of give ourselves a certain amount of leeway to be less industrious in the summer. Some of you are thinking,
Says who? I don't know what you're talking about. Life slows down for you in the summer, not so much for me. For me, it's nonstop. Well, if that's you, then even more so. Psalm 127, here we are. This is good news. This is good news for people who feel busy or you feel like busyness is coming, hard work. There's something very good here. There is good news here. There is refreshment. Of course, I talked about this last year. Last year, this time, we were gearing up to send five kids to five different schools. It was just like, we needed this. So if you need it, I need it, we all need it. We need this. This is good news. Okay, where shall we begin? Well, let's look at the psalm together. You might have noticed a number of things. There's some talk about children. Someone actually might have read that and been like, well, I don't have children, so this doesn't really apply to me. Just in this psalm, as in much of the Bible, but especially in this psalm, children, the giving of children, the blessedness of children, children is actually a symbol for something, okay? And we'll get to that later, but it's an expression of something. In the same way, if you read the psalm, there is someone building a house. You might not be a house builder. There's a guard watching over the city. It's probably not your job. These are symbols for things, and we'll talk about all of this. So, where shall we begin? Where shall we begin? There is, in this psalm, there's a fellow, a man or a woman, hypothetical, who is, what does it say? It says, looking at verse 2, this is God speaking. In vain, you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. The idea is if the Lord doesn't build the house, the worker builds in vain. If the Lord doesn't watch over the city, the guard watches in vain. It's in vain. You're waking up early and going to bed late. In vain. So it's like you got someone who is busy and they're rushing through life and they're running and striving. And the good word is, you don't have to live that way. It's in vain. As in it's pointless. It's not helping you. You don't need to live that way. There is good, refreshing water of life news here for us. There's something very good here. And I really want us to dive into the depth, the riches of it. So, let's do it this way. Let's start here. Now, you don't need to know Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew. I mean, I read and I study, but you don't need to know Hebrew generally to get the message. But sometimes there are some things that it is helpful to have a little bit of the ancient language and understand some of the things that you're just not going to see just by reading it. And such is the case here. There's something deeper going on. If we look at verse 2, it says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat." That's the translation we just said. Toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Toiling for food to eat, that's kind of what it says in Hebrew. It's not exactly what it says. There's another translation that says, it's in vain that you are waking up early and going late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. That's what another translation says. You're eating the bread of anxious toil. That's closer to the literal Hebrew. The literal Hebrew, it's one of those places where there's not like a perfect word that's going to capture, so I'm actually going to say the Hebrew if I pronounce it correctly, which I'm sure I won't, but it's in vain that you're rising up early and staying up late, eating the bread of atzavim. That's what it says. It's in vain. You don't need to be eating the bread of atzavim. Atzavim. What's atzavim? Well, that word is actually really rich in the scriptures because it goes back to the very beginning. Atzavim is the word spoken to both the man and the woman in Genesis chapter 3, which if you don't know all of that, it's when the ground was cursed. It's when life became hard because of sin. It's more than we can get into right now. But the word spoken to both the man and the woman was, now there's going to be atzavim. Atzavim, and it means pain, hardship, anxious toil. I would pretty much call it the painful, hard, anxious striving of life. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. Some time ago, I talked, I quoted my oldest daughter, who she has this expression that she says a lot. She says, everything is hard. That's what she just says. She says that a lot. Everything is hard. Everything is hard. I said here at church, and one of our teens, afterwards, she said to me, oh, when you said everything is hard, I thought, oh, I feel that. And, you know, I thought, man, this is one of those things we learn pretty young, isn't it? Atzavim. You maybe don't know the word, but you know the concept, don't you? It's right there. It's easy. It's clear. Life is hard. Striving. Anxiety. Pressure. And there's no escape. Until now. There is escape. Hear the good news. You don't have to live that way. It's in vain. If you're living that way, you don't have to. This is good news that stretches deeper than the busyness of life, but it certainly applies to the busyness of life. There is good news. Hear it. You don't have to live that way. Let's just take a deep breath. We don't have to live that way anymore. It's in vain. That's the word saying. You don't have to live that way. Well, please tell me. If that's the case, please tell me how. Right? I'm listening. I want to know how. Well, let's go back to verse 2 again. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. For he grants. I found out that that's another word that has a lot of rich meaning, grants, grants. He grants. The Hebrew actually is, usually he's sitting over there somewhere, Nathan. the Hebrew is Nathan, and it means gives, okay? Nathan Cherry is usually over there somewhere, that's why I'm like, ah. But it means gives. And this word actually is found right in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. It's God giving, God providing out of his goodness. And then in Genesis chapter 3, when things go bad, the word spoken by the man was, without getting into it, he basically says, this woman that you gave me, she gave it to me. There's this repeating of this word, and there's this idea that basically Adam no longer believes in the good giving of God, okay? God gives, God's good, God gives because he's good. It's who he is. He's a giver. And when sin came, people stopped believing in the goodness. They stopped trusting in the good gifts of God. Does that make sense? He's a giver. He's a good giver. And when sin came, we stopped trusting in the good giving of God, okay? So anyways, here we're starting to scratch the surface. Once more, we want to discover how we can escape from the burden atzavim, the bread of atzavim, the anxious striving toil, and it's found in discovering the goodness of the giver, all right? We're gonna go deeper into this. Sometimes at the end of the service, we do a thing called a benediction where a blessing is pronounced. And if you've been here, you've probably heard someone during that time say something like, you can posture yourself in the position, you can posture yourself to receive. Have you heard that before? Posture yourself in a posture of receiving. That actually is a good word, not just for benediction time, but that's actually what we're talking about. If we want to be free from the atzavim, it really is about living, not outwardly, like a posture of giving could be like opening your hands. No, we're not talking about simply an external thing. We're talking about a heart posture of receiving. That is at the heart of this, okay? There are two ways of living here, where you feel and you work and you have the burden upon your shoulders, the burden of busyness that you must fulfill, or there's the posture of resting and receiving what God, who is good, is very happy to give. He's been giving since Genesis chapter 1. It's who he is. It's us that stopped trusting in that. Let's go deeper. Posture of giving. That's where we're at thus far, okay? We want to learn, how do we get a posture of receiving? How do we get that, okay? We want to escape atzavim. We want to escape anxious toil. It's in vain. We don't want to live that way. How do we get the posture of receiving? Let's jump to a very important passage, New Testament now, Romans chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. I'm going to read it. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Now, there's a lot of theological words here. Justification, justified, righteous, blessed, transgressions. I want to break it down and make it simple. There's something here that's just, that captures the posture of what we need. I want to recap once more just to make sure we're clear. We are looking at what does it mean to have a posture of receiving so that we can escape the anxious toil of atzavim. So, talking about Abraham, we spent like a year talking about Abraham when I first got here, and I just feel like that's someone we just don't talk about enough. When I'm sitting across from someone, it happened this week, I find myself talking about Abraham and his family. There's so much there that is relevant to us. Quick recap. Abraham and his family, they were, the word that we used a lot at that time, they were, who remembers, dysfunctional. They were dysfunctional. They were a dysfunctional family. And newsflash, they all are. All of them are. All families, dysfunctional. That happens. That's if you've been in one, that's just what happens. That's the nature of our state. We're not as we should be. And Abraham's family was, believe me, no exception to that. They were dysfunctional. They had plenty of dysfunction, more dysfunction than any of our families, I would be willing to wager. But there was something else about Abraham's family that was equally and even more true. They were loved. They were blessed by God, and they were loved, and God had a purpose and a calling upon Abraham and his family. And wherever they went, God was with them, guiding them for his purposes. Sometimes Abe would have some really good days and do really good things. Other times, less so. Other times, much less so. But the goodness of God, the promise of God, never left them. And I want you to see that as strange. I want you to see that as strange because it is not how we naturally think about God's relationship with people. That's what it says here. What it says is, where is it? Abraham believed God. Verse 3. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Do you hear what this is saying? You know what righteousness is? Righteousness is the status of being good. The status of being in a, like, you're good. You are a good person. We'll say it that way. Righteousness is the status of being good in the eyes of God. Like, God's like, thumbs up. You're cool. You're good. Me and you are good. Happy with you. Proud of you. You're righteous. Okay? It's not complicated, right? We know what righteousness is. But here's where it gets weird, and you have to see it as weirder, otherwise maybe you don't understand it. What it says is Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Do you hear that? It's like if I said, well, I'll just say it. It's like, okay, I have this special thing with God. I got this special thing with God, okay? I try to do good, but sometimes I do bad. It's just kind of how life works. Try to do good sometimes, you know, have bad days. But here's the thing. I have this thing where God, where I believe in him and I trust him, so he just counts it all as righteous anyways. Do you hear that, how that's strange? He counts it as righteous, even though the things I do sometimes aren't. He just counts it as it is. No matter what I do, because I believe in him, that's what it says. Abraham believed God and he credited him as righteousness. Are you seeing that this is strange? If you're not seeing it as strange, I don't think you get it. Maybe some of these other verses will help you see it as strange. It says, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. So that's like, but the one who does not work. Let me say it more clear. Look at verse 8. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Hear that. Hear that with the weight of what it's saying. And I'm gonna come back to Atzavim and the heavy hardship of life. Okay? What we're doing right now is talking about a certain posture. That's why it seems like I'm talking about something that seems a little deeper than all that.
Unfortunately, due to local outages with our internet service provider, we had to run our live stream on a mobile network connection, which caused issues with our video encoder. As a result, the service recording was cut short partway through Pastor Charlie's sermon. Thank you for listening and thank you for understanding. May the Lord bless you and keep you.